It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 1st of June, the 152nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 213 days left in 2024. Why the yodel? Ha! I witnessed a wonderful thing this past week. I was in Switzerland visiting a girlfriend. She wanted me to have a very Swiss experience. So we visited a church near her that's the site of a yearly pilgrimage. And then she took me to a typically Swiss restaurant, which was very good, by the way. We left, but when I got to her car, I realized I'd left my glasses on the table. So I went back into the restaurant. And what had happened in the 3 minutes I was gone, a table of 15 friends had started singing in absolute perfect harmony. It was magical. It was a local folk song sung in the dialect of that region. I didn't want to miss a second, but I couldn't let my good friend Emily miss the moment, so I ran outside and shouted at her, "Emily, come quick!" Luckily, it was a very long folk song, so we had quite a few more minutes of joy. Emily told me this is quite common for groups of friends to get together to sing, because it's good for you, singing. My girlfriend said, "Well, Susan, now you really have had a totally Swiss experience. What a wonderful moment." And I can still hear their song in my head. It sounded something like this. Lovely, but nowhere near how wonderful it was to stand right next to a table where friends just burst into perfectly sung song.
You never know what you'll be served up on the Sound Kitchen.
The gang's all here. Erewhon Rome is back. Olya Horton's standing in the wings with a special edition of her happy moment. And I've got baby brother, also known as Paul Myers, right here next to me. Say hello, baby brother.
I think 1 week I'm going to say hello, baby brother.
Well, that's that old joke.
It's the old joke.
Say goodnight, Gracie. Goodnight, Gracie.
I'm not going to stoop to that level. not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Hello.
Well,
big sister.
Hello, my darling. Listen, I've been breathing in good Swiss air, but Paul's been breathing in the rarefied air at the Roland Garros tennis tournament, which opened this week. What you seen so far, baby brother?
Well, we're into the early stages still, first round, second round, and I have seen two humdingers so far. Rafael Nadal against Alexander Zverev. That was a fantastic match. Nadal lost in three sets, but there were tears and emotion. And every time he did one of his famous fist pumps, everybody jumped up and started really clapping because they've got so used to them over the years, but we might not be seeing that many more of them. So it was sad that he lost, but Zverev played really, really well. And he looks good for a good run into the tournament. But of course, Nadal, 14-time winner. It was really odd seeing him go in the first round, remember, because only a couple of people have beaten him over the years. And he usually gets to the final 14 times.
You think?
He's quite good.
Yeah.
And then there was another brilliant match, which was the top seed and defending champion Iga Swiatek against the former world number one Naomi Osaka. That went on for 3 hours, three sets. Swiatek saved the match point. Osaka, who's not that good on clay, just was, oh, it was fantastic. I'm going on a bit here, but she loves Serena Williams, Naomi Osaka. And there were moments where it was just like watching Serena. You know, the ball would come and it would go to the other end of the court really quickly. It was bludgeons and it was fantastic. And wonderful serving from Osaka. But she's been out away from the tour for about a year. She's had a baby. And in the moments when it really mattered, she just couldn't hold it together. But it was wonderful, wonderful match. But the only problem was that there weren't that many people watching it.
Why?
That there's a press conference later on from the tournament director. There's been lots of problems about bad behaviour of the fans, but the main court was half empty. Loads and loads of seats. And this wasn't people just going out to get a sandwich or anything. These seats were empty.
Well, are they terribly expensive?
No, it's not about expense. Okay. It's just about people perhaps being deterred by the rain. Maybe they were worried about strikes or something like that. But for a high quality match, it was a bit of a tragedy that it wasn't that full. And of course, it was raining. Loads of people want to watch the tennis, can't get in, and they look at it on telly and see empty seats. So they've got to tackle that somehow.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, maybe I'll go. But I don't want to sit in the rain.
No, well, there's a roof over court Philippe Chatrier, so you are guaranteed to see your three or four matches.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I wondered about that.
Yeah,
I thought, oh my gosh, if they have to cancel every time there's rain, because it's been, listeners, it's been nonstop downpouring biblical rain here this week. And I thought, gosh, what do they do?
No.
It must be a logistical nightmare if they have to stop every time it rains and then reschedule a match and then...
Yeah. So the fourth day was cancelled because it was just too much rain. So everyone gets reimbursed. But if there is more than 2 hours worth of play, you don't get your reimbursement. So they try and get everyone 2 hours.
Okay.
Incrementally.
Yeah. So please.
25 minutes here, 33 seconds there, 4.5 minutes there. Just build it up to that 2 hours.
So
no money for you.
Oh, yeah. 25 seconds, 33. It sounds like when you have a really dog of a radio show you have to put together and you're cutting out 33 seconds from here. Yeah. Okay.
Not like the sound.
Anyway, yeah. Okay. Okay. So let's on with the show. Paul's got your answers to the bonus question ready to serve on the listener's corner. And Erwan has a mighty fine dessert for you at the end of the show on music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, because it's time for the quiz. On the 27th of April, I asked you a question about our article, Titanic Task of Finding Plundered African Art in French Museums. It's about an ongoing and very real problem in Western museums whose collections contain art and artifacts that were most probably stolen during the colonial era. However, discovering the actual provenance of many of the works is a long, painstaking process. It's investigative work, like tracking a murderer or a bank robber, except this is a brand new type of investigation with often little to offer in terms of clues, sources, and the like. Because so many museums are now trying to find how a work ended up in their collection, two French universities are now offering courses in this new field of artistic detective work. And that was your question. What are the names of the two French universities that now offer courses in art provenance research? Paul, what's the answer?
The answer is the University of Paris-Nanterre and the Louvre School of Art. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question. Which is stronger, money or the pen, and how? That was suggested by Rafiq Khondakar from Nowgan in Bangladesh. You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so please do stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are RFI Listener's Club member Sharifa Akhtar Panna from Kishoreganj, Bangladesh. Sharifa is also the winner of the week's bonus question. She wrote, "I believe strongly that the pen is stronger than money. The people who have a lot of money cannot change the world or society. On the other hand, the people with pens have. Think of Socrates, Plato, Karl Marx, Einstein, and so many others. The world does not remember the rich man or woman, but the writer or good politician are remembered. No rich man ever won the Nobel Prize, but many pen holders have, such as Rabindranath Tagore." Also on the list of lucky winners this week are Salim Akhtar Chadhar, the president of the RFI Seven Stars Radio Listeners Club in District Chinio, Pakistan; Nafisa Khatun, the president of the RFI Mahila Shrota Sangha Club in West Bengal, India; and Ferhat Bezazel, the president of the RFI Ain Kachera Butterflies Club in West Skikta, Algeria. Rounding out the list is RFI Listeners Club member Abdul Manan Teacher from Sirajganj, Bangladesh. And last but not least, RFI English listener Shihabur Rahman Khan from Bogura, Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. Roland Garros, Roland Garros, Roland Garros. It's that time of year again. Time for the Roland Garros International Tennis Tournament, also known as the French Open, everywhere except for France. And our ever-ready Paul Myers is sitting on the sidelines to let you know what he's seen. Earlier this week, as Paul mentioned at the top of the show, he watched and wrote an article for us. Zverev sees off Nadal to advance to second round at French Open. In what was surely a nail-biting match, the German player Alexander Zverev prevailed over Rafael Nadal, the 14-time winner of the Roland Garros French Open tennis tournament. 14! That's the record, and it's Nadal who holds it, so Zverev's win is a big deal. In fact, Zverev, along with Robin Soderling and Novak Djokovic, are the only men to beat Rafael Nadal at the French Open since 2005. What was the final score? That's your question. Reread Paul's article, "Zverev Sees Off Nadal to Advance to Second Round at French Open," and send in the answer to this question. What was the final score of the match played between Alexander Zverev and Rafael Nadal at the French Open earlier this week? You'll find Paul's article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Paul, What's this week's bonus question?
Well, we've been reading about the really high temperatures right now that so many of you are experiencing. So we want to know, and maybe your tips can help others, how do you stay cool? What do you do to protect yourself from the heat? How do you stay cool?
We aren't suffering anywhere near as much as many of our listeners are. Wow, did you read that? 50 degrees in New Delhi. Yeah. Ooh, wow. Paris can get pretty beastly midsummer. What do you do on those days and nights to stay cool, baby brother?
I try to avoid people. That's one way of keeping calm and staying cool, because a lot of hot-headed people going around doing things, so you just want to avoid people. So I try to stay inside, obviously drink lots of water, watch some old videos, actually, and just wait it out. I'd wait out the sun, and I try to enjoy it as well in a strange way, because heat is rare. For us, yeah. So I try to enjoy the different sensation, because it's obviously a contrast to the winter time. So I like to feel the seasons, but intense heat, not so great. I stay away from people and try and stay cool with myself and with other people when I do see them.
So
yeah,
you're a believer in the Cole Porter song, "It's Too Darn Hot."
Yeah. Smile a lot. And you, what do you do?
Well, because we're fortunate here in France to not have electrical blackouts, I keep fans on. We sleep with the windows open and fans blowing on our legs. Because if it blows on your face, you'll get sick, right? And then as soon as the sun comes up, we close the blinds, the windows, close the drapes, live like moles, turn the fans on, hoping that sends the trapped cool air around. And the problem is when we have... I finally understood what canicule means in French. That means when the temperature doesn't drop at night. So when the temperature doesn't drop at night, that's a horse of a different color, because you don't have any cool air to... And in those cases, I just sit very, very still and try to move nothing but my eyes.
Darling. You're so expressive tonight. is that yes? Is that no? Do you want supper?
Oh, cooking, that's impossible. Cooking's impossible because my kitchen, it's a full south window. It's impossible. There's it's salad, but boy, no way does the oven go on in the summer.
Yeah.
Anyway, stay strong, my friends. Stay cool. Stay hydrated. We're thinking of you. And remember, we're happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. You have until the 24th of June to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 29th of June to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. You can also text your answer to the Sound Kitchen mobile phone. Dial +336 31 12 9682. That's +336 31 12 9682. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
Hello, I am Priyanka Pal from RFI Women's Club, Murshidabad, West Bengal, India, and you are listening to the Sound Kitchen, and Susan Venesby is cooking.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered for this week, suggested by Rafiq Kondakar from Nawagan in Bangladesh, is which is stronger, money or the pen, and how? Karuna Kantapal votes for money. Here's what he wrote. The pen and money are both very necessary things in our life. We can say they are dependent on each other. When we think about education, the first thing we need is pen and paper. Money is required for that. From there on to every stage in our lives, money plays a vital role. A pen can only give a drawing of our dream, but for fulfilling those dreams, money is necessary. So in my opinion, money is stronger than the pen. Father Stephen Wara agrees. He wrote, money is stronger because every human being on the planet Earth needs money for material survival, but not everyone is literate.
But Father Steve, since you answered literally, what do you make of man does not live by bread alone?
Helmut Matt is also a realist, and this is what he wrote. Money or pen? It's not that easy to answer. I will try anyway, even if it's sad to write this. Money very often determines what is written. It's mainly a question of power. Those who have power believe in money and strive for even more power and even more money. For these people, money is a symbol of their power, but also an instrument that can be used to buy anything, even writing and the people who write. And unfortunately, these people often allow themselves to be bought and write what the powerful of the world want to hear. It's sad, but it's unfortunately what I've experienced in my life so far.
I'm never quite sure how much Rodrigo Henriquez is poking fun. He's an engineer, so he made an equation, yes, an equation, to contemplate the question. This is what he wrote. No, I'm serious. There was if X is, if Y is, then A. Okay. So this is what he wrote. Since you are comparing numerable and unnumerable objects, this seems to be a rhetorical question. It's like a tool. It all depends on the use and situation, as stationary money or pen may not exercise strength. Okay. You should meet Father Steve Rodrigo. You two could have fun being realists together. Rodrigo then explains his equation and finds the results are, as he wrote, currently, mass media is in decline. Sorry for the reference, except for RFI, of course. And the pen has lost strength. Its power is diluted. Money is concentrated in fewer hands. So money has become stronger than the pen.
Mohammed Shamim is in the middle. He wrote, sometimes money is stronger than the pen in our lives. The pen is stronger if we fight against corruption, but it is a huge challenge. Radhakrishna Pillai is with you, Mohammed. He wrote, no doubt a pen is stronger than money. A pen can influence every aspect of a human life. All achievements in this world happened because of it. But in the modern world, everything is dependent on money. It is very difficult for a person to live without money. Murshida Keka Champa wrote, in my view, the pen is stronger than money. Most people respect an honourable person, but very few respect a rich man. True justice comes from pens. Debashis Gope agrees. He wrote, the pen is stronger than money, just as in the saying, the pen is mightier than the sword. We'll end with Salim Akhtar Chadar, who wrote, I think the pen is stronger than money. We can buy things with money, but we cannot buy freedom, thought, or the development of minds. The world's major revolutions are due to the power of the pen. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question is, how do you stay cool? Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at The Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating. And a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
A pleasure, as always. Thank you.
I'm Nasser Balahi. Bonjour from Iraq.
Time to get happy with Ms. Olya Horton.
Just take a pinch of inspiration, a bunch of good vibes, a drop of creativity, and sprinkle it with sunshine. And there you have the perfect recipe for a happy moment. Hello, Sound Kitchen listeners. Olya Horton from the RFI English team. I hope you are well. This month's happy moment is related to India. Firstly, I have a few words to say about my recent trip to the Cannes Film Festival, and I will also share an inspiring story a reader of ours sent in. I would like to begin by congratulating Indian film director Payal Kapadia, who won a very prestigious prize at the Cannes Film Festival that wrapped up last weekend. Her film, All We Imagine Is Light, won the grand prize from the international jury. It was the first time in 30 years that India has been represented in the main competition. The story follows two nurses who have moved to Mumbai for work, both searching for love and connection in an often cruel and indifferent world. I saw the film and I very much enjoyed it, so I recommend it to you. As part of my work covering the festival this year, I also had the pleasure of interviewing Santosh Sivan, an acclaimed cinematographer and director originally from Kerala, India. He was invited to the Cannes Festival to receive the Pierre Ingenieur Prize for his contribution to cinema. You can find this interview and the other articles about Cannes on our website. Now to our happy moment story. It was sent to us from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our regular listeners in New Delhi. It's the inspiring story of 10-year-old New Delhi boy Jaspreet Singh, who did not give up when fate recently dealt him a cruel hand. Singh lost his father in April 2024 after a long illness. Soon after, his mother left for her parents' home, leaving young Jaspreet and his 12-year-old sister to fend for themselves in the care of a cousin. Jaspreet, who had previously watched his father making street food, decided to try his hand at making chicken rolls and selling them in the evenings after school. Thanks to a post by a food blogger that went viral, the news of Jaspreet's courageous and ambitious efforts caught the attention of the Mahindra Foundation, which offered to pay for Jaspreet's education. Hearing this heartwarming story was definitely a happy moment in my week. Thank you, Jayanta. What about you? Do you have a happy moment to share with fellow Sound Kitchen listeners? Don't be shy. You can send them to the Sound Kitchen or get in touch through Facebook. You can leave a message on the Sound Kitchen answering machine, or you can go ahead and record your happy moment and send it to us in an email. All the addresses and phone numbers you need can be found on the Sound Kitchen page of our website, rfienglish.com. When you record, just make sure you hide under a blanket. It makes for better sound quality. That's all from me this week. Thank you for listening. I'm Olya Horton. Enjoy your weekend. Bye for now.
Thank you, Olya and Jayanta. You can hear Olya's happy moment on the first Saturday of every month. Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, emails, and text messages coming. Many, many thanks to Erwan Rome for his input and his mixing mastery, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week for the answer to the question about the last-minute entry to the Cannes Film Festival. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. He plays the conga drums, and you can see his good, calloused drummer's hands on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. This week, Erwan chose a really groovy piece of music by the French quintet, Monsieur Mala. In 2018, the five men who make up Monsieur Mala, all established musicians with successful careers, decided to band together and focus on their proper compositions arranged collectively. The group transcends the borders between jazz, pop, world, and urban music. Jazzwise magazine wrote about Monsieur Mala. The five musicians update the fusion tradition for the 21st century. The music is carefully crafted, combining subtlety and color with the band's trademark rhythmic drive and irresistible groove power. Erwan chose Misemo, which means proverb in Kiswahili. As the band wrote about the composition, Misemo means the favorite phrase, the one that comes to mind to give you motivation when it's needed. Misemo was composed by the quintet's saxophonist Baltazar Naturel and arranged collectively by the group. Does this piece bring to you your favorite phrase, the one that comes to mind to give you motivation when you need it? Even if it doesn't, I bet it'll make you get up and dance. Jazzwise magazine was assuredly right that the quintet has irresistible groove power. Take a look at their video, which I posted to the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages, and you'll see their irresistible groove power at work. Here it is, Misemo, written by Baltazar Naturel, arranged and performed by Monsieur Mala. Enjoy. And thanks again, Erwan, for another musical adventure. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends. Talk to y'all next week.